Welcome back to another episode of the Inner Fight Podcast. Hope you're doing well. Hope you have had an absolutely fantastic week. And I really do hope you listened to last week's show because I thought it was really good. Leadership, culture, and team building. Hopefully you did as well. If you didn't listen to it and you didn't think it was good, then that's okay as well. This week, I am talking all about the CrossFit effect. This is episode 705. If you enjoy it, please do take some time, share it with your friends. Please also take time, rate and review the podcast on the various platform that you listen to it on. I'd really appreciate that. That's how the show grows and reaches more people. iTunes, you rate and review it. Spotify, you do something similar. What other platforms? Switch, Stitcher? People still listening on Stitcher? Anyway, we shall get moving. As I always say before the start of the show, no matter where you are in the world, thanks for tuning in. Let's jump into today's show. The CrossFit effect. Some of you might be listening to this thinking, what is this guy going to say? And actually, when I came up with this particular title, I thought the same. But the reason I came up with it is because I actually think the CrossFit effect for me personally and for a number of people that listen to the show and are within our community is a massively positive one. Yes, there are some negatives to it. Yes, we saw some pretty horrible stuff from the CEO of CrossFit. When was it? It was probably just over a year ago now. And that was not great. But for the most part, I think there are only some fantastic things. I want to give you guys a little bit of a background as to sort of how I came across CrossFit and why it was and still really is, to all intents and purposes, an integral part of our brand and also a big part of the approach that we have to how we program our mainline classes. It was just after I finished playing rugby in Australia in 2004, and a friend of mine from down in Australia said, there's this thing called CrossFit. It's a really cool way to work out. You might enjoy it. And I'd moved back here to Dubai, and basically what he'd done is he'd become what's known as a CrossFit affiliate. Back then, you would pay CrossFit $1,000 for the year to be called CrossFit such and such. In this case, he was called CrossFit Gold Coast, lived on the Gold Coast, and literally had a barbell, and I think he had a Concept 2 in his garage at his house. And that was, to all intents and purposes, that was his gym. It was what is now well known as a garage gym, which back then, garage gyms were not really on trend or, shall we say, very popular at all. And what we would do is he would make up workouts or get workouts from CrossFit.com, which were not easy to get because the internet was not quite what it is today. You couldn't download stuff from YouTube easily. We're still in dial-up days. And basically, CrossFit would post a workout every day, but if the website loaded and you were able to understand what the workout was, that was almost a workout in itself. So actually doing the workout on CrossFit.com was not always easy. And we would SMS each other back and forward. I did this workout. This is how it went. I felt like dying. It was awful. It was this. Let's do it again tomorrow. And this kind of continued for quite a few years until it was really in kind of, well, the first open was actually in 2011, but we were using what I would call an approach CrossFit methodology, which is constantly varied, high intensity functional movement. It's not rocket science, but it was quite nicely coined that the movements were functional. So we moved away from using gym machines. The workouts were varied. So varied, every day was different, constantly varied. And at times, not always, and this is where I think people get it a little bit wrong in CrossFit, is that some of the movements were performed at high intensity. Now, back in the day, as we still see in these days, some CrossFit movements are performed at high intensity, which I absolutely disagree with and shouldn't be performed at high intensity, either due to the athlete user's athletic ability or athletic exposure, or the movement itself with the weight that sometimes we see prescribed by CrossFit is just dangerous. It's outright dangerous. But we liked what this approach. It was functional movements, high intensity and constantly varied. Because one of the biggest complaints that we always heard from people around gyms is that they got bored. And we were here in Dubai. We actually started up at the Lakes Club playing around with these CrossFit workouts, getting some very, very interesting looks from a number of people until we moved to another gym, which is actually 24 Fitness. For those of you that live here in Dubai might know it, when it was literally only one warehouse. It's now multiple warehouses and we continue to grow. And that's kind of a bit of the brand story as well. And all through this time, CrossFit was developing. There was the CrossFit Games. There was CrossFit. They weren't called regionals at that time. They're actually called sanctionals, I believe. And that was the route to get to the CrossFit Games, and it was awesome. We tried to get as much information, but the main information feed was actually through Facebook, which then still 2006 to 2009, it wasn't super easy to access exactly what was going on. And I remember Googling different things and just sort of getting nowhere, and then you get to a YouTube video that wouldn't even load. But some of the things that it brought, I came from a team sport background, I came from rugby, and it allowed basically all of the rugby guys to train together in quite a competitive environment and have a lot of fun and stay fit. And in 2009, 2010, when I stopped playing rugby, I was still able to get that competitive edge. I was still able to work out with my mates, and we could be 8 people, we could be 10 people, 12 people, 4 people. It was like a team environment. And I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. And I think this will resonate with a lot of people. And over the last year, we've heard a lot about people belonging and humans' connection to community. And we see that a lot within the Inner Fight community. And from the start, I thought, wow, this is actually super powerful how we're doing this, that we're all now able to go to the gym, do the same workout pretty much at the same time, and have a lot of fun doing it. The other thing is that these CrossFit gyms were just like I explained, my friend's gym at the Gold Coast, CrossFit Gold Coast, was just a barbell, maybe a medicine ball in his garage with a Concept 2. And there's just an unlimited amount of things that you can do in that environment. And we were moving away, because it was more functional movements, we were moving away from putting people's bodies in machines at the gym, which would force them into. Now, there's a place, and this is not a disclaimer, I just genuinely think there is a place for a certain number of machines in gyms, especially for, I see it really useful during rehab stages where we want to have things super, super controlled. There is a use for them. There's also an argument against using them at rehab stages because we should be able to move freely. But what CrossFit did is it gave a brand of fitness or a way of fitness that was actually now super accessible to anyone, anywhere, anyhow. And in the early days, there wasn't, definitely from what I saw and a lot on CrossFit.com, they would program some strength, but it wasn't a strength component every single day. They were mainly just great conditioning workouts, be it intervals, be it longer workouts that would take 20 minutes, 40 minutes, and you'd always feel, and I think this is why CrossFit resonated with a lot of people, you'd always feel like you had a great workout. Even if it was just a 20-minute workout, you'd feel like you'd done more than if you'd been in the gym for like an hour, just fluffing around, waiting for someone to stop using dumbbells or machines or whatever it was. So it was kind of a totally different environment from the start. My friend's garage and a lot of the CrossFit gyms that were coming up also didn't have that traditional feel. Of course, it was a garage, so there was no window, there was no mirrors in there. The workout was just written on a whiteboard. And this brought quite a lot of power as well, is that the workout that we're gonna do, the daily workout of the day, it's one of my hates actually, WOD. I hate the phrase, the acronym WOD, workout of the day, but that's kind of what it's called. That we don't call it that in a fight because I just didn't like it from the start. It's today's workout or the daily workout. Anyway, we move on. Was placed on the whiteboard, and we would go up to the whiteboard, even if there's only 2 or 3, and we'd talk about the workout, or we'd write the workout up, and then when we finished the workout, people would put their times up and they would put up their weights that they used. And there was a lot of trust involved in it as well, which was quite beautiful because we'd trust each other that if it said 20 burpees, 10 snatches, 500 meter run that we actually did that. And I think that was something that was quite unique. I actually saw a flip side of that as our business sort of started to grow, is that people didn't want to put a score up that was bad. And that's why in about 2013, we actually did away with having scores on the whiteboard, because people would just cheat. It's very strange, isn't it? Because I'm talking about trust and community and team, and then we come in with people cheating. But I guess that's just human nature. But it was very powerful having this whiteboard. I think there was, and I'm sort of just, I've got all lots of different benefits that are bouncing around in my head, and I actually do have some notes for this show, which is beautiful as well. But I think other things that were really strong is that there was really no dress code in these boxes, as they became called. Again, I'm not a massive fan of the word box. It's a gym, it's a garage, home gym, home garage, whatever. But CrossFit, I'm not sure if it was an American thing, but they came up with this thing. It's a box, it's not a gym, and my box is different. Well, take your box and box off. Anyway, we'll move on from that. But there wasn't a massive dress code. It didn't really matter. And this was the first time that we actually saw, because it wasn't, a lot of these CrossFit gyms started as little private places in garages and stuff like that. There was no problem for people to work out with no shirts on. And this was something quite revolutionary as well, if you like. It was very new, and you know, it didn't matter. People were wearing board shorts, which we'd never really seen in gyms before. And I think a lot of people resonated with that, because, and those of you who heard me talk before, like one of my pet hates and one of the reasons why we've done things at Innerfight the way that we have is that I didn't enjoy what gyms were stereotypically as I was growing up. Why wasn't I allowed in one when I was 8 years old? I wanted to go in and play as well. And why did it matter how I was dressed? I thought these things were just not important. The important thing is that in a gym, you're doing hard work. And that's what these CrossFit gyms brought. This was the effect of CrossFit. You could take your shirt off. You could wear board shorts. If you showed up, and this still is the same in our gym. It doesn't matter if you show up and you don't have shoes. Like, not many workouts in our gym today, except if it's running outside, actually require you to wear shoes. It's irrelevant. The only reason we wear shoes is really for safety. But Jim said, no, if you don't have the right shoes, you can't come in. And I've seen it a number of times over the years where, you know, people have packed their gym bag for the day, gone to work for the day, and then rocked up at my gym in the evening, and they're like, oh, I don't have my shoes. And it's like, well, that's fine. But their normal reaction was, I can't do the workout, or their normal excuse was, I can't do the workout today because I don't have my shoes. I'm like, A, borrow my shoes, or B, just do it without shoes. So this whole environment and this whole culture that was developing sort of post 2010 for a lot of countries, and then and through, was super unique, and a lot of people gravitated towards it. We then saw something quite cool in 2011 when the Worldwide Open started. So we could now compete on a world level, and I could compete with friends all around the world on a worldwide leaderboard, not just SMSs back and forward. I mean, obviously we'd move to WhatsApp by then, but that's how it was. In the early days, it was an SMS on my Nokia to my friends in Australia or wherever they are in the world, and characters would be limited, so we'd abbreviate and most of the time get the exercises wrong or not really understand what the other person was saying. But the Worldwide Open in 2011, which still runs to this day, was a global event. But what we also saw on the back of that and leading into that were a lot of great community events. These were called throwdowns, another massive plus side really of CrossFit, where we'd get a competition aspect for people, and some of them are super relaxed and fun, and no, there's not a judge there to count you. But for the more serious, there was judge, and this sort of continues through today. If I can connect the dots for you here, things like the challenges, the monthly challenges, or the challenges that we have every second or third month here at Innerfight are the same thing. They're community events that bring us closer together through competition and through a connection with each other. And that's why some of our events are in teams of two, three, and upwards or downwards, and some of them are on their own. Things like Hell Week, which people just want to get through because it's just a great week of everyone together. So we saw a big explosion of a lot of community events, which gave people a sense of belonging, a sense of being, which was very strong and powerful, and another massive positive effect. The decor of the gym, I think, was not intimidating, but intimidating at the same time. And this is actually a conversation we have a lot with new members at our gym and as a team as well. I don't think our environment's intimidating. I think it's quite welcoming because there's not a lot of machines that are confusing and that people don't know where to put the pin and they're gonna, you know, they're gonna trap their fingers or they don't know how to turn the treadmill on or they're worried that the treadmill is gonna cut off after 30 minutes. Our gym's quite open, but that also brings a lot of intimidation for people as well because they see this big rig and they see weights and kettlebells and it's a little bit different from what they've been used to. So it's almost, yes, a CrossFit gym is intimidating for some, but not for others. And I think that's human nature as well. Some people are going to feel more comfortable. But I think the fact that classes run as classes, people are around a whiteboard, we can all say hello to each other at the start of a workout, we can all know each other's names. And that was, I think that's one of the things, one of the negatives of not putting people's names on the board is that when we put their names and scores on the board, we almost force them to share their names with each other. So then it was a lot easier for people to say, well done, John. I mean, it's, okay guys, it's not super hard to say, sorry mate, what's your name? But for those people that are a little bit intimidated by gyms, that was something that was quite easy. And that's maybe been lost a little bit, but this whole environment was completely different. This whole, as I said, from 2011, this whole global community that was getting built, and you could also travel when you went on holiday to a big city, you could Google, is there a CrossFit gym? And you kind of knew what you were getting. And I think lots of people said that CrossFit led this sort of revolution of people going on fitness holidays. I don't actually agree with that. I think as people became more aware of the positive impact of fitness through sort of 2005 onwards and people's desires to live quite different lives and active lives sort of came more to fruition, then people were looking more for fitness on their holidays. But it was super easy for CrossFit gyms because you'd Google a CrossFit gym, the format would be the same, it'd be quite straightforward, you'd feel comfortable in the environment because you knew what it was about, and again, you'd get a functional workout, high intensity, and it would probably be different to anything you'd ever experienced before, both good and bad. And actually in the early days, I traveled everywhere I went. Holly and I made it a point to go to a CrossFit gym basically to see what people were doing. It was almost like competitor shopping or market research for us as well. Another great thing that came or has come from CrossFit is that we've had access, and it's almost a point of contention because we've had access to things like gymnastics and what's known within the CrossFit community as Olympic weightlifting. It's actually just called weightlifting. Things like snatch, power clean, jerk, or clean and jerk, those movements of weightlifting from the Olympics. Those things people never got access to. And this is what we see a lot with gymnastics, is that people did it as kids. And then it's been like 20 years since we asked people to get upside down in a handstand. But the motivation and the progress that we see and the satisfaction that we see people get of being able to do these gymnastics movements, be able to do pull-ups for multiple reps, to be able to walk on their hands, to work technically on the lifts, snatch and clean and jerk, also brings a nice separate focus because it's not always about conditioning. In the early days, trust me, it was all about conditioning. We never really lifted very heavy weights unless it was like bench, deadlift or squat. We would generally, you know, we would use those to build strength, but most of the workouts were conditioning. We've always put some strength in, but our strength has now become a lot more sort of creative as we've gone, as we've learned, as we've seen feedback. But what CrossFit did by including things like gymnastics and weightlifting within the programming, it gave people access to these things that maybe they'd never had access to before. I never did any form of weightlifting, snatch, or clean and jerk when I was growing up, even when I was playing rugby. We used to do some cleans or high pulls when we were doing rugby for power, but I'd never done a snatch. I'd never done an overhead squat. And, you know, I mean, I don't love them now, but when I was deep in CrossFit and competing in CrossFit, it was a nice dimension to have and a nice skill to learn. So the roundedness and that whole sort of constantly varied, not only in the workout itself for that particular day, but also for on the number of movements and the number of ways that you can put these movements together was really quite attractive to me and really to everyone. And I think that's that, you know, there I sound like quite a decent CrossFit salesman now, and I'm going to swing a little bit. I'm going to try and present the argument a little bit against, in that, just to give you guys some information, to open a CrossFit gym, there is one prerequisite, is that you have what's called a CrossFit Level 1 instructor certification. What that entails is a weekend course, which tuition time is probably about 6 hours a day for 2 days, so total of 12 hours. There isn't a practical exam per se to certify that you know how to teach people, that you have the confidence, that you have the skill set to teach people, and skill set I mean on a number of ways, both technically and also practically, so you know why you're telling them what they're supposed to be doing and you can deliver that in a good way and actually get them to do it. You do sit an exam, which is a multiple choice exam. Once you've gone through those 2 days, 12 hours, you paid $1,000 for it, you're now able to apply to be a CrossFit affiliate. This is what's quite frightening. Not every CrossFit coach has only done that weekend course. A lot of them have studied sport at school, at university. Some of them might have a degree, a master's degree in various types of human movement, physiology, no matter what it is. But there are a lot of people out there and there are a lot of CrossFit gyms in the world that the owner went and did their level one on a weekend, and literally on a Monday morning, they're able to pay CrossFit what's gone from $1,000 to now $3,000 to be called a CrossFit affiliate. That sucks. At the same time, CrossFit do not regulate any of what happens in a gym. They give you a basic guideline, but they never check if you're executing things to any sort of standards. If we take a typical franchise model, you have to execute towards standards. That is not in place in CrossFit at all, which is quite frightening. And I think that's why, well, I know that's why we get such varied reports on how people enjoy various CrossFit gyms. Yes, on one hand, it's allowed CrossFit gyms to develop their own type of training. And that's exactly what we've been doing. We were a CrossFit affiliate for close to 10 years, but never kept it in our name on purpose, because I thought it was better to build our own brand and our own way of training by being totally open to all different ways of training and coming up what we feel best suits and serves our community and delivering that under the Inner Fight brand. And that's what we do now. Lots of people ask, are you a CrossFit gym? Technically speaking, no, we're not. And I'll explain why we're not. Because we de-affiliated last year when the CEO mouthed off and made really quite, anyway, Google it. You'll soon figure out what I'm talking about there. But at the same time, I'll be honest, every single year, when it came to renewing our CrossFit affiliation and our subscription fees came at $3,000, I asked myself, what do we get for this? And how do we fit into this global community? What really is the benefit to our members for us being a CrossFit affiliate? And each year, they got less and less, or my realization that the value of the benefits was just not matching the $3,000. That's why when we got a chance, we de-affiliated with CrossFit. It also gives us the chance to continue. Well, they didn't really, as I said, they didn't really govern what we're doing anyway, but now we're even freer to serve our community in what we think is the best way. With this lack of education and this lack of regulation, also lack of support, and really just kind of no interest outside of gathering their $3,000, there's an incredible amount of danger. Some affiliates taking, well, all affiliates having to take, being forced to take things into their own hands, which could lead to people getting injured. Yes, people get injured in gyms. And you could say, and this is why I want to sort of present, and I spoke for 20 minutes about the benefits, that those people would get injured anyway. Yes, maybe they would, but your chances, if you have uneducated instructors in an environment that's not properly regulated or doesn't have any direction, you're going to increase the chances or risk of injury, and it can be quite dangerous. And this is where then the whole CrossFit community can get a bad name. I have a lot of people coming into my gym asking me if I'm a CrossFit affiliate. I can tell by the look in some of their faces that if I say yes, they're going to turn around and walk out. Now, I can proudly and honestly say no. And later on, they often tell me how they went to a CrossFit gym and they got injured and they had a terrible experience, but then in a fight, it's slightly different. Sometimes in CrossFit, because of the way that it's been marketed with the CrossFit Games, which is a whole other beast, we have seen a certain amount of elitism. People looking each other up and down because they can't do things like muscle ups. And that makes your average gym goer or your newbie, should we say, a little bit put on the periphery, maybe a little bit insecure. Where at the end of the day, everyone's just going to the gym to get a little bit fitter, to feel a bit better, to look good naked. I don't know, the list could go on, but they're pretty much the main things. And we've seen a lot of elitism in CrossFit. We even see it today, where people are saying they're CrossFit athletes. What even in the hell does that mean? You have a full-time job. How are you a CrossFit pro athlete? And who's paying your bills? Because there's really, the only money in CrossFit is the money going back to CrossFit. I haven't spent that long on the negatives because I don't want to turn this into a negative. I spoke for 20 minutes on the positives and we've only spoken for about 7 or 8 minutes on the bad parts. So in summary, there are huge benefits. The CrossFit effect has been massively beneficial for so many, so many people. It's helped people get off the couch. It's helped people break down barriers. It's helped some people within our community find their husband and wife, which is quite cool. What will happen in the future? I don't really know. Have we taken all the good things of CrossFit and now it's been broken down? I mean, when we started CrossFit in 2004, 2005, and I was trying to explain to people how we were training, it was actually super difficult. But now people know what CrossFit is. Now we've broken down those boundaries. Now we have gyms that have people in them shirtless. Now we have gyms that don't have mirrors, that don't have big bulky equipment, and that have people shouting super loud music, a load of fun, friendships and community. Have we taken all those good things from CrossFit and we can leave them behind? Maybe. I'm not too sure. What we have seen though, and I truly believe that this has been led by CrossFit, is that functional fitness has really grown. We saw this massively as well during lockdown, where people proved that they can get in shape and stay in really good shape with a few dumbbells and kettlebells in their lounge room, which, if we're being strict, and if we go by the definition of CrossFit, that is CrossFit. My message is pretty simple. The CrossFit effect has brought a massive positive to me personally. We've created a business from it. We've created a community from it. We've created a lifestyle for a number of people from it. I'm proud that we employ a number of people that are able to deliver this type of training to this community locally and also globally. I think with a lot of things, you got to take the good, you got to leave the bad, and you got to crack on and make sure that you're having a lot of fun and you're hitting your goals. That's the CrossFit effect. I'm sure a lot of people have similar opinions and a lot of people might have differing opinions. Give us a shout, leave a comment on social media, drop us an email, winning@innerfight.com. I'd absolutely love to hear from you. Thanks a lot for listening. I'll catch you next week.